It's time for the host of your next Super Selection Sunday segment. He's funny, punny, and loves that money. He's the future, the Frenchman, Seth Juniac.
The Frenchman. I'm not sure how I feel about the Frenchman. I mean, I like French fries. I like French toast. But that's about it. But either way, I won't hold it against you. Either way, Seth Juniac joined by Baker Lehman and Brooks Carter here on the Sunday Student Section Selection Special. Breaking down these brackets as they're coming available to us. Really, the whole bracket's been released by now, but we'll save the last bracket, the East bracket, for our final host, and that's
Andrew Wallace.
I drew a blank, like I remembered him in here, and I wasn't sure if he hosted it, but either way, Andrew Wallace, he's got the East, and luckily for him, that's his UVA bracket. I'm not sure if this was done on purpose, but
It wasn't done on purpose,
but Baker, well. But Baker gets to talk about his Michigan. But
the outline was written last night, so I mean, it just happened to be luck of the draw here.
It's like you have ESPN or something.
Oh, yeah.
But either way, moving on, let's get to the actual talking. We'll talk about the bracket. I think it's Albany. Is that Mississippi State or
no? The play-in game for this bracket is going to be Cal Poly and Texas Southern. Cal Poly, like we talked about earlier, was the 13-19 team as they enter the tournament. So the winner of that game will be playing Wichita State, which is sure to be a blowout.
Yeah, most definitely. Whoever, Wichita State, I think they deserve a one seed when you don't lose a game. And really, the thing that sticks out to me about Wichita State is that they were at the Elite Eight. I think they were at the Final Four last
season.
Final
Four. Louisville, their best game of the tournament.
They were up by 10. They were up by 10 at one point on the national champions.
Yeah, so I see Wichita State. This is a team that several people have been writing off. I don't. I think they've proven enough. But either way, let's go down the other matches real quick. Kentucky playing Kansas State for that matchup. Excuse me, I don't know a lot of these. I don't know a lot of these acronyms. But St. Louis gets to play whoever wins. I'm guessing that's NC State Xavier.
Yep.
Yes.
And then Louisville plays
Manhattan.
The Jaspers.
Massachusetts playing whoever wins Iowa Tennessee. I'm guessing.
Yes.
Duke plays Mercer. The 3-14. 7 versus 10 is Texas Arizona State, and then 2 is Michigan versus 15 Wofford. So I guess quick gut reaction, guys, what sticks out to you about this bracket top to bottom?
Well, this is by far the hardest bracket to get through. I'm going to lose some sleep over this region, but Wichita State, just like you said, a very deserving number 1, 34-0 on the year. Kentucky going all the way down to an 8 seed, I think is actually a good placement for them. Just they've lost a lot of big games, they've lost a lot of very winnable games as well. The NC State Xavier matchup is very, very intriguing to me. Two teams with a lot of good players and some solid coaching as well. I would probably pick, that's going to be a trendy 5-12 matchup too. I don't believe a lot in St. Louis. They seem to fall out of the tournament early when they get in. Duke playing Michigan early on in a rematch of an early season game potentially. UMass has to play Iowa or Tennessee. That's two very tough teams, one way or the other, having to play against UMass. This is a hard bracket.
Brooks?
Plus Louisville being in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of star, I guess, just notable teams here, star power, if you will, from these universities that are in here. You look at Kentucky, basketball powerhouse, Louisville, basketball powerhouse, Duke, basketball powerhouse. Texas, who is a notable university and has been to a lot of NCAA tournaments. Same thing with Michigan, a team coming off a national championship runner-up season. Just a lot of really big-name programs in this tournament, and it's going to be in this region, and it's going to be very interesting to see how everything plays out.
The Sunday Student Section Selection Special here on WVOFA 98.7, the Capstone. I want to talk about some of the big dogs. Who's got the best chances? And we'll start with Wichita State. Wichita State has a distinction that no one else in this tournament has, and that's a zero in the loss column. So I guess, do you like Wichita State's chances to maybe escape this bracket and have a chance to play for history?
I like Wichita State. I've been supporting them all season. I think this is just a tough defensive team that have figured out how to play offense as well this season. They were a Final Four team last year. As you guys mentioned on the at the break, they were up 10 on the national championship Sunday. I'm not used to talking on the radio on Sunday. But they were up 10 on the eventual national champion last year in the Final Four. But it's just going to be hard to get there with a lot of very athletic, talented teams. And that's something that Wichita State hasn't had to come up against this year, playing how they play. But 34-0 speaks for itself. They're a team who can make a run.
I would agree with that. I like to like looking out as a potential future Sweet 16 matchup. You're seeing Wichita State maybe with a rematch against Louisville in the Sweet 16, and that's going to be that's a game that they would be extremely motivated to win after losing their chance to go to a national championship game last year and a heartbreaker in the Final Four in Atlanta. So I think obviously I don't think they're going to be looking ahead to that game already, because you can't do that, especially when you got a Kansas State or a Kentucky coming up in the second round. That's going to be a very difficult game to get by, especially a very talented team like Kentucky. We've seen them, we've seen the kind of talent they have, but they haven't necessarily matured and been able to play with some with continuity this year. So very interesting journey for Wichita State. They're a very good team, but I almost feel like the selection committee is, in a sense, they're like, let's really see how good they are. Let's put all the tough teams in their bracket and see if they can get past them.
And that's definitely something that I think that they have a good chance to do. I won't say that that's my pick, but I really do like Wichita State's chances going forward. But that takes us to the number two seed, a team that probably would have been a one seed if they had won the Big Ten tournament. They lost 69-55 to Michigan State. That's Michigan. The Wolverines last season went to the Big Dance, the biggest of the big dances, and it was a pretty nail-biting game, eventually losing to Louisville, the eventual national champions. But Michigan, just to start their tournament, they get Wofford. Not that much of a challenge, I don't think. But again, Baker, I know that you're, I guess, our resident Michigan expert. Tell us about Michigan's season and why we should buy in.
Well, I think the biggest thing is offensive efficiency. They don't average, I believe they only average about 9 turnovers a game, and that's incredibly low for any team, not averaging double digits in turnovers. The three-point shooting is generally phenomenal. They know how to get to the basket. Yes, they don't have Mitch McGarry this year, so their offense down low is a little bit limited, but they have two very good defensive big men in Jordan Morgan and John Horford. Between the two, they pretty much average a double-double and split minutes, and John Beilein was the Big Ten Coach of the Year. He keeps his big men fresh. They have some depth coming off the bench, and Zach Irvin and Spike Albrecht, who is a hero or a potential hero in last year's national championship game against Louisville when Trey Burke had some foul trouble. They're a team with experience. They know what it takes to get there. Everyone except for two players on this team, and that's freshman Derek Walton and freshman Zach Irvin, was there for the national championship team last year, or national championship game last year. They know what it takes to win in big games in this tournament. Nick Stauskas was the Big Ten Player of the Year for a reason. He's had a phenomenal season. Karis LeVert is probably the most improved player in the Big Ten. He's an offensive threat. Zach Irvin's a sniper from down, coming off the bench. There's no reason not to think that Michigan can't go far in this tournament.
And one of the things that's impressed me the most about Michigan is their ability to overcome essentially the loss of two of their best players. You know, they had Trey Burke from that team
three,
last
really,
year.
Really, with McGarry not
that's
playing.
That's what I was about to bring. The loss of a preseason All-American and a McGarry, and then Trey Burke. You know, we all know how good he was. He was a lottery pick in the NBA draft. So losing essentially three starters from a team that made a run to a national championship game last year, and to come back and not only and to win the regular season title in the Big Ten, and then be to be in the championship game in the tournament, I think it's it just bodes well for that program, and speaks volumes to what they've been able to do this season.
Yeah, my problem with Michigan, I love Michigan. I'm a fan after last season's performance, but Michigan to me, I'm not sure which Michigan we get night in and night out. Some nights they look like they're the best team in the country. On other nights, they're just as likely to just drop a goose egg. Michigan State today, I think, was one of those instances. So again, they've been so back and forth, but we'll move on.
Well, just on that point quickly, I know I said earlier that I think that if you're evaluating this bracket and really looking at it, you throw that Michigan-Michigan State game out the window. Michigan beat Michigan State twice. Obviously, Michigan State wasn't at full health, but they still really aren't even at full health, being that those three guys who've been injured all year are still lagging a little bit and their conditioning isn't quite there. But this was a game that Michigan State wasn't going to lose. They were simply too hell-bent on winning this game against a rival. Izzo wasn't going to lose three times to his arch rival. I'd throw that out the window when you're evaluating this team, because they have been pretty consistent all year. Yes, a couple bad appearances late in the year, but after a Big Ten play started, this team was a top five team.
Moving on, though, that takes us to the 3 seed, the Duke Blue Devils. At times, they look like they've been the best team in the country as well. Lots of talent, lots of things to like about Duke. Coach Krzyzewski always readies his guys to play. Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood, guys are just talented, and that's what you expect out of Duke. And do you like Duke's chances? We'll start with you this time, Brooks.
I don't like Duke's chances to go to the Final Four, if that's what you're asking. I like Duke's chances to get to the Sweet 16 and maybe onto the Elite Eight. I think that's going to be a fantastic game there in that Elite Eight with Michigan and Duke. That's who I think is going to get to that point. I don't see
a rematch of an early season loss for Michigan.
Yes, and I don't see Texas or Arizona State beating Michigan in the second round, and I don't see UMass or. I don't see UMass or Tennessee or whoever that other
Iowa
or Iowa beating them. And that would be interesting to see, though. Iowa get a rematch with Michigan after blowing them out earlier in the year. That would be interesting to see. But I think I don't like Duke to go to the Final Four because of how inconsistent they've been at times. You know, they'll go a couple of games and it looks like they've really turned the corner, and then they get beat. You know, they went on the road at North Carolina, and I really wasn't impressed with the way they played. Then they get beat by a Wake Forest team. Wake Forest team who was only one game over 500 this season. So I'm not sold on them yet. They haven't they play extremely well in Cameron, but they don't really play well outside of Cameron, in my opinion, and that's one of the reasons I don't think they're going to win more than two games in the tournament.
Duke's a tough team to evaluate, absolutely. I think just with, you know, all the talent, all the shooting, everything's great there. They lack a little bit of rebounding. Emile Jefferson doesn't give you a lot of offense. He's a great rebounder, but he gets into foul trouble a lot. Jabari Parker's improved his rebounding, and the defense has gotten better overall as a team. But they're a team that just can be too streaky. And even you saw that today when UVA just big boyed them. Duke couldn't really respond. They couldn't get to the hoop quick enough because they're a jump shooting team. It's something that's going to be really hard for Duke to overcome in this tournament, but they're not going to really face a team with a big down low presence or a good to the hoop presence until potentially the Elite Eight.
All right, well, moving on, there's a couple other teams I want to talk about before we give way to Andrew to dissect the East, and one is Louisville. I think Louisville is a team that has quite an easy route. You know, the Wichita State, again, they still come with question marks. They're undefeated, and I personally think that they deserve it, but they still come with question marks. You know, Kansas State, Kentucky. If I'm Louisville, I look at this bracket and I think, wow, I can get to the Elite Eight with my eyes shut. So just let's talk a little bit about Louisville's chances.
I don't agree that they can get to the Elite Eight with their eyes shut. Maybe you could make that statement at least to the Sweet 16, because I'm not sold on St. Louis at all. That this is a team who had an early exit in the Atlantic 10 tournament, and a team who's in my mind been a little overrated all season. They kind of remind me a little bit of that Drake team that wound up getting a 5 seed a few years ago in the tournament and wound up getting beat in the first round by Western Kentucky.
It's a great game.
Yes, and I would not be surprised if St. Louis gets beat by an NC State or a Xavier in the first round after that play-in game. I wouldn't be surprised if they get beat by either one of those teams. And if they do make it to the second round, I think they're going to get slaughtered by Louisville. And I think Louisville's got a very clean path to the Sweet 16. But, you know, Wichita State, like I talked about, is going to be extremely motivated if they do meet back up with Louisville because, you know, that's the team that ended their season last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Louisville's definitely one of my trendy picks to get to the Elite Eight, and so is St. Louis getting out in the first round. That's probably going to be one of my 5-12 upsets. But it's just going to be, and Brooks, you bring up a good point, because I think Louisville can get straight to the Sweet 16, but Wichita State is going to be so motivated if they're sitting right there, if they make it past their second round game against Kentucky or Kansas State. They are going to be just yearning for a chance to beat Louisville. And Louisville's a team who hasn't done well against top competition. They got their first two wins, or two of their three wins over ranked opponents in UConn just this past week. Obviously, they're the AAC conference champions. They're a great team with a lot of good defense. Russ Smith is having another phenomenal year for the Cardinals, but they have not played exceptionally well against top talent, which makes me think that even though they're a team built for the tournament with that great defense and just that athleticism and depth they bring, they're a team that could definitely get knocked down by Wichita, or they're a team that could get right back to the Final Four.
And one thing I think that's interesting for Louisville is, you know, they could be very motivated coming into this tournament, because that four seed is almost kind of a slap in the face to them.
After a team that's now back in the top five, absolutely.
A defending national champion, conference champion again, and they, you know, a lot of people, they only had five losses on the season, and they're sitting here as a four seed. So I think they're going to be motivated as well, because they think that they were seeded too low and they feel disrespected.
Yeah, I guess one more question I have before we give way to the East bracket dissection. I think when I look at this bracket, there isn't that much upset potential. You know, I think a lot the top four teams to me strike me as legit contenders. I don't necessarily buy St. Louis. I think Kentucky may be a team that I like as a legit contender. But I guess with that in mind, are there any upsets? Am I right in seeing that there aren't a lot of upsets here?
I think you're right. I think when it comes down to it, the top four teams will probably be down there. I think it's the first round you have to look at. I like Iowa or Tennessee to beat UMass, just based on a competition thing or level of competition throughout the season thing. And I like NC State or Xavier to beat St. Louis. St. Louis, I liked a little bit earlier in the year, but now watching them, how they've kind of crumbled late, I don't like them very much. They're kind of a soft team to me. So I think that TJ Warren, NC State, or anyone on Xavier could really take over a game and beat St. Louis in that first round. Same with UMass. I think that Tennessee, especially with Jarnell Stokes, could really just big boy UMass out of the tournament in the first round.
Yeah, that double-double machine and Jarnell Stokes, I would not be surprised if they did, in fact, beat UMass. You know, I'm kind of cheering for Tennessee. I know that sounds kind of weird because,
what's wrong with you?
Because I want to see SEC teams do well just because of how bad the SEC's been in basketball this year. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see. It could be two SEC teams coming out in the same bracket there. But I do think Kentucky wins this game. If Kentucky can get it all together with the amount of talent that they have on that team, if they can buy into what Calipari's trying to do, Kentucky can be dangerous in this tournament.
Their thing is motivation.
Absolutely. Are they going to be motivated? Are they going to be, you know, focused on what's coming up in the NBA draft in June?
Well, if I'm a draft scout, nothing gets me going more than winning. And if this Kentucky squad wins, that should be their ultimate motivation. One more quick thing I want to say. I do want to call a slight upset. I really like Arizona State. I think they have an easy shot.
I'd take them over Texas. I think Texas.
I think they have a shot to beat Michigan too. I think Arizona State, they beat Arizona, the number one overall seed.
At home though.
No, it's the number one overall seed.
Are they not? They are a one seed. Arizona State is a team that is not afraid of the big boys. I think that they're motivated. Jordan Pachinski and Jahi Carson are legit talents. Both of them are probably cashing a ticket to the NABA draft, just like these Kentucky players. But either way, I do think that this is a top-heavy bracket, and again, I'm still excited to see the games be getting played, and I'm with you guys, too. I really think Tennessee's got a chance to travel far, but I think that'll end this segment of the student section selection special. For Baker Lehman and Brooks Cutter, I'm Seth Juniac. Andrew, it's your turn. You're up.